afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
I simply want to start this week by saying thank you. Thank you to all of those that have supported me and continue to support me, because without that support, this podcast wouldn't be possible. It's always nice to know that there are people out there listening. There are people that have appreciated the content that I've brought them over the past almost 2 years now. And so I just simply want to say thank you. And with that, here is my conversation with this week's guest. So this week, I am talking with an author, actually, Todd Sullivan. Welcome into the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. And we were just talking before I hit record. You're in Taiwan right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Taipei, Taiwan. I've been here for about 7 months now.
So are you from there originally, or you moved there?
No, I'm from New Orleans, actually. So okay. I'm originally from America. But yeah, I moved here, again, about a little bit more than half a year ago.
And so what prompted that move for you?
Actually, before I was here, I was in South Korea for 10 years. I teach English here in Asia. So, you know, I was in Korea for 10 years, and I just wanted to change the country, different change of pace. And, you know, I was offered a job here in Taipei, Taiwan, and that's basically why I'm here.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations. How exciting.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and we were just talking. You were saying, so we're recording at, it's 7:30 Central Time right now. I'm in the Chicagoland area, and you are already at Monday morning, you said. You said it's, what, 8:30 there?
Yeah, it's about 8, probably about 8:40 now here on Monday morning.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. What a weird way the world operates.
That's true. I'm in your future.
Todd, so I kind of want to talk to you about your books. You have, now I tried to figure it out. Is there three different books, or you have a couple different like series and everything? Talk to me about all the books that you have out right now.
So technically it's 4 books, but it's 2 novella series. So there's a fantasy novella series called The Windshine Chronicles. And there's 2 books in that one. The first one came out last year, about last November, December. And that one is called Hollow Men. And then the second one came out, I believe, like May of this year. And that one is called There Will Be One. And then I have a extreme horror series. It's a vampire series. And the first one for that one is called Butchers. And that came out also like last November, December. And then the second one, which came out maybe April of this year, is called The Gray Man and Smoking Shadows. So those are, it's 4 books, but it's 2 novella series.
And so give me a synopsis of those various books for the listeners who are maybe interested in it. I guess, and maybe even talk about what genre these books are.
Well, again, one is fantasy, one's horror, but the fantasy one is a quest, kind of like a quest fantasy. So it takes place in, all my books take place in Korea, because I was living there for 10 years, and that's actually why I wrote them at in Korea. And the quest fantasy, it follows a group of young men who are given these really difficult quests to accomplish and just follows them as they go along. And the reason why it's called the Windshine Chronicles is because there's a dark elf who follows along with them, and she records what they do. So she records their success and their failure. And then with the vampire horror series, this is this takes place in Seoul, kind of like modern day Seoul. The other one, the fantasy one, takes place in Middle Ages, so maybe 200, 300 years ago, kind of. But the vampire one takes place in modern day Seoul and follows these vampires who basically have a job they have to do. They're employed in a kind of like a secret organization. So those are basically the ideas behind both of the series.
Do you have a favorite of the 4 books?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I don't know if I have a favorite, but I do like the Grey Man and Smoky Shadows. That one is the second one in the Vampire series. And I also really like There Will Be One. So the second one of both series, I really enjoy. I like all four of them. But the second ones in both series were... I enjoy quite a bit, actually. I enjoy writing them, and I think people have enjoyed reading them a bit more. So
if people are interested, and obviously we have a lot more conversation to go and everything, but while we're talking about the books, I want to make sure I ask this before I forget it. If people are interested in the books, where can they find the books? Are they available through like an ebook format? Can they go get them in the store?
Right, so you can pick them up, but you can order them in the store. Different countries have different places where they can actually get books at, particularly English books. But honestly, the easiest way is Amazon. Amazon is international, and that's really the easiest way if you're in Korea, if you're in Japan, Taiwan, and America. Amazon, and you can get an ebook version or a physical version. Both are available. But there's also available, like, each different country have their own local websites, own local kind of shopping websites. So they're also available there, but the easiest way is Amazon.
Todd, so where do you draw? So you, I guess there's a couple different routes I want to go. So you said you got fantasy and horror. So what is it that drew you to writing fantasy and horror? Why those genres specifically?
Well, it wasn't so much what drew me to them. Like when I was younger, I tried different writing styles, different genres. And really the fantasy and horror ones, particularly the horror, because that kind of goes through everything that I write, it just got the most praise. It's like what people seem to be most interested in. Like when I was in high school, I won a contest, a playwriting contest, and it was kind of like a horror, kind of fantasy type play that I ended up writing. And yeah, people just seem to really enjoy the kind of darker aspects of my writing. And so I kept going with that. I figured that would become most successful over time. And other things became, you know, I do science fiction and I do children's literature. The children's literature has been received fairly well too, because it has a much wider audience than the horror, of course, and even a wider audience in the fantasy. So, I mean, I also do children's literature.
So when you're doing all these different books and writings and switching back and forth between writing different genres and stuff, where do the ideas come from? Like, where do you get your inspiration to say, this is the idea that I have for this book?
It comes from what happens around me. Like when I was the teachers I had at a very early age had us usually write stories around the events in our lives. And so that's my foundation personally as a writer, to write things to write about people that I know, events that happen to me in my life, situations that happen to me. And so my stories just come from stuff that happened around me, which is why the two novella series take place in Korea, because I was there for 10 years. And they both started on the island of Jeju. It's just a small island in Korea anyway, but they both started there. But then I wrote them over several years, and I moved to Seoul, which is the capital city in Korea. And so they both kind of bounced, both these novellas kind of bounced between this island in Korea and then the mainland of Korea. And I just write about what happens to me, basically.
So I've heard before, so for example, like J.K. Rowling, that she knew the end of the series before she even started writing the series. So for you, when you're thinking of your ideas and you're reflecting on kind of things that have happened to you in your writing, are you one of those people, like, are you working from beginning to end, or do you kind of know where you want to end up? And then you kind of have to work backwards.
For the entire series? For the entire series, see, I actually don't really plan on ending the series. I actually plan on having them go... So each novella has a plot that begins and ends. Like, so there is a definite ending to each book as it comes out. But there's always opportunity for something new to come out. Because I think nowadays, in particular, series don't tend to end. I mean, people may say this is the end, but I think J.K. Rowling has recently released a new book for Harry Potter World. And I think realistically speaking, series don't really end anymore. So yeah, each book has a beginning and an ending. And so that plot is taken care of. But the entire series itself is ongoing. I don't think there's going to be an actual end to the series itself, to either of them.
So how do you get from those ideas of like conceptualization, like I have this idea, these are what I want to write about, all the way to getting it published?
For the Windshine Chronicles, actually, the idea first started when I was in high school. And I actually kind of wrote a little bit and then stopped and wrote a little bit. I'm 42 years old, so high school was probably about 24 years ago. It's quite a long time ago. So anyway, I kind of wrote it and stopped over time. And then when I was in Korea, I finally found a way to actually put it all together into one. So, you know, it started off as short stories and then character descriptions and then kind of writing about the situation and the plot itself. And finally, when I had time and I feel like I had the whole concept in my head, that's when it became like a novella. And novellas, for people who don't know, tend to be about 100 to 150 pages long. So it just, that was kind of the progression of it. And as for the horror one actually kind of started in high school, but when I was living in Jeju, the island of Jeju in Korea, I finished a horror novella called Natural Police, which is also a vampire novel. And it was accepted for publication, but then that publishing house went bankrupt. So then I took that novel and I broke it up into novellas and it became like a novella series. So that's how that one went. It was a novel that was broken up into novellas.
Now, was it a process to get a publishing house to kind of look at your material or everything, or how does that work?
It was definitely a process. You submit. So you write a cover letter, you write a synopsis. Of course, you have the entire novel completed. If you're doing novels, you have the entire novel completed. You research different publishing places that are accepting the type of writing you wrote. And then you just start submitting. And it's easier now because I started doing this when I was 18 years old. So back then you had to actually mail things off. It was extremely slow, of course. Snail mail is really slow. Now it's just doing it by email and it makes the process a lot faster, much, much faster. So that's it, just submission letter, cover letter, synopsis, the novel itself, and then researching the different places you want to send it to.
So with you being abroad and everything from the U.S., now are there publishing houses and stuff that you're working with overseas, or are you looking at stuff in the U.S., or is it just really anywhere and everywhere, whatever you're finding for your research, you're reaching out to whoever you think is going to kind of take that book and publish it?
For these novella series, they're both based in America, but I wrote a lot of short stories between 35 and 40. And these actually were published in a couple of different countries. Like one was published in Thailand and one was in the UK, Australia, Canada, and in America. I think those are five countries. And that's just research. You just go online. There are different websites that you go to that have a variety of resources. And so you go online and you just Google and research. And it takes a long time. It's not really an easy thing to do, particularly if you haven't done it before. It can be a bit overwhelming. But over time, you start streamlining the process and you know where to go and who to look for. So, yeah, I mean, I just streamlined the process in the end.
So with it being published in different countries, who takes care of the language piece? Because I can't imagine all of these books are being published in one language. So, for example, I can't imagine they're all being published in English, correct?
No, they are.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Right, because in different countries, they are English journals.
Okay.
You know, because every country has an English expat community. And then there's also English speakers in these countries. And so they're the ones who are most likely buying or reading these particular journals.
Interesting. See, I always learn something new when I'm talking to people.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Todd, so you've lived in a few different places. You know, you said that you were from New Orleans originally and that you've been in Taiwan and Korea. What is it that you've learned about living in those different countries?
A lot of mostly cultural things. I find that the culture of America, Korea, Taiwan. I was in Japan, but very short time, maybe just a month. I was studying there. But they're just really interesting, intriguing cultural differences between the different countries. And that's always really fun to explore, just to see how different people live their lives. Because, I mean, they're basically doing the same thing around the world. People are waking up, going to work, getting married, hanging out with friends. Like, these things are all very similar. Like, there's no real difference between the foundation of people, you know. But what they do and how they do it, like the nuance of how they do things is where it's quite different, where it's quite interesting. So you see life basically through slightly different angles. And that, to me, is actually really fun.
What was the biggest difference or the most interesting thing that you saw in terms of a cultural difference from what you were used to?
You know, it's changed now because of COVID-19. But yeah, definitely, and they used to. It's a very close. People are very close in how they do things, like physically close. Because this is a, you know, it's a stereotype, but it's true. Americans actually like distance. We're not particularly big on people being, especially people who we don't know, being very close to us. But in Korea, and then also in Taiwan, it's different. I mean, people will come very close to you. They're very, very physical. They share the same food. Like a lot of times in Korea, there'll be just a series of dishes on the table and then everyone shares from those dishes. So it's the same, you know, anyway, you're sharing the same food, sharing the same soup, sharing the same cups. Again, this has changed now. But that was really, I think, when you first moved to Korea, at least, that's something as a Westerner you have to get used to. Because, of course, in our restaurants, we have our plate, you have your plate. And we're not tending to be eating from the same plate or something like that. So just the closeness took a while for me to get used to.
So probably about 7 years ago now, I went to Thailand for 3 weeks during my final year of college on a service trip. And one of the things that really stuck with me was just kind of like the culture shock. And realizing like some of the things that we take for granted here in the US. So one of the things that I thought of while I was in Thailand was like water. Like there was a week straight, I remember that I couldn't shower because all we had was a bucket of cold water to rinse off with. I guess through your different experiences living abroad, is there something that you can think of that people here in the U.S. take for granted that really we just don't think about because we use it every day or we do it every day?
Well, here in Taiwan, it's one of the annoying things for me is the garbage process, because here, you know, in America, we just put our garbage in a garbage can, and then on a certain day of the week, we take it out to the corner and the garbage person can come pick it up. But here, actually, you have to stand outside the garbage and you have to push your garbage into the garbage thing as it passes by. And it happens twice a day. And so if you're not there those two times of the day, then you don't get your garbage thrown out. And that actually is quite different, you know, having to actually literally bring your garbage out every single day and put it into the garbage truck itself. So that's in Taiwan at least, because that's not also in Korea and it's not in Japan. This is something specifically I've seen in Taiwan. So, and also here, extremely hot right now. And so people try to use their air conditioning because it's really humid. This is Southeast Asia. But the air conditioning bill, the meter bill here is extremely high. And so you try to use air conditioning as seldom as possible because it becomes an extremely big bill, unlike anything we're used to in America. Mm-hmm. And so that's also kind of a difference here as in America. Here you're hot a lot because you just don't want to use the air conditioning too often. Whereas in America, we use it all the time because our bills don't tend to be, you know, it's very rare in America to get like a $200 bill. for your condition use. That's just, you know, it doesn't really happen. But in these countries, it kind of does.
Things we don't think about.
Yeah.
So I was doing a little bit of research and everything before our interview tonight. And I saw that you had recently talked to the Ghosts and Monsters interviews. And they had kind of asked about some non-writing endeavors. And you had talked about how you enjoy exercise and you've done fencing and Muay Thai boxing. Is that something that you do very often? Is you're active in terms of fencing and boxing and things like that?
Well, I did fencing when I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. I did fencing almost the entire time I lived there. So I did that quite a lot over a 10-year period. I did Muay Thai for about a year. And then when I moved to Korea, I had planned on doing fencing in Korea, but it's not very popular there. So I started doing Kendo. I don't know if your listeners know what Kendo is, but it's kind of similar to fencing. It's a sword fight in martial arts, except you're using bamboo swords instead of metal swords, I guess.
Interesting.
And I did that for 9 years in Korea. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoy, you know, it really helps inspire writing, too. Like, I think something people say about my writing is that the combat scenes are pretty realistic, but I've practiced these different martial arts. So, I mean, I feel like I really know what I'm talking about when my characters get into some type of fight or some type of combat scene, like I'm using real world experiences.
So what else do you like to do for fun? What else besides writing kind of keeps you entertained? I'm sure things have changed though with COVID and everything too.
Right. Like these days I don't really do much because of COVID-19 and walking around with a mask is extremely hot. Like I mean, it's hot also in America and different places in America, but it's quite hot here. So these days I don't really do quite so much. But when I was, again, when I was living in Korea, when I used to like going out to, I did a lot of bars. I went out at night. Korea has had a really great nightlife. I don't know what it is now. So I did that a lot. And then I enjoy Japanese anime. I don't know if you are familiar with Japanese anime.
Me personally, I am not as familiar with it, but I actually used to work with a few people that were really into Japanese anime.
Okay, so that's what I watch. I watch a lot of Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, things like this. I'm really big into Japanese anime.
Yeah, my friend Victoria, when she hears this podcast, she'll be very happy to hear that.
Cool.
So I know that you said you've only been in Taiwan for about 7 months or so. So you may or may not be able to answer this next question, but maybe you can because you were in Korea beforehand. So I recently talked to someone who lives in Canada, and I asked the question because I'm curious about what is the outsider perspective of America? I know that there's this big portrayal of how other countries see Trump and kind of the way that he operates and the way he does things within the country, as well as the way that coronavirus has been handled here versus in other countries. Do you have like that outsider perspective of what people's view of America is?
I think, you know, they probably, when it comes to education, they probably, particularly here in Asia, they probably feel that their educational system is better and more efficient than our educational system. They probably feel that their students work harder than our students in America. I don't know how true this is, but I know that's probably the general feeling in, you know, Korea and Taiwan, China, places like that. As far as coronavirus, you know, it's been interesting because I feel like the news doesn't quite convey the reality of a situation. But I suppose if you only go by the news, which is what people around the world do, they probably feel that America didn't handle it very well, whereas they may feel that they did. But again, I would caution about the portrayal of these things. Unless you're on the ground in a specific place, you really don't know just by watching the news. Mm-hmm. So, and as for Trump, I don't know. They probably feel that he has thrown things into disarray. Let's put it that way. And so that's probably the overall idea of it. This is just a bunch of disarray going on right now around the world.
Yeah, I was just, like I said, I was just kind of curious to get that outsider perspective because, I, of course, I could talk to friends and family and other people here within the United States about their views and everything. But again, they're all around only the U.S. media and the U.S. news and everything. And so I was just kind of curious from a different standpoint and kind of having that different view, kind of what people were thinking. So I appreciate that.
Cool.
Todd, what would you say has been the most impactful piece to where you are now? So like from point whatever you want it to be to point right now, what's been the most impactful for you in your life?
The most impactful was probably when I was 22 years old. I self-published a book, actually, a collection of short stories, poems, and novellas. So it's been about 20 years ago. And then for a year, I went around Southeast America. So Louisiana, Georgia, Texas, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, promoting this book on different places throughout these states. And it was extremely difficult. It was actually a very difficult year trying to promote this book and interacting with all these people and things like that. And I think that has probably been one of the most impactful things because for me, it was extremely difficult doing all this traveling, talking to all these people who, of course, I don't know, trying to get them interested in this book at 22 years old. So, yeah, I feel like that was a very, it made me significantly stronger. And I figure at the end of that if I could actually do that year, I could probably do just about anything. It was just really a tough year. So, I think that was actually a turning point for me when it comes to just how I perceive my role in life.
What is and maybe there's not a typical day, but what does a typical day as an author look like? Because when I think about an author, I think of like brainstorming ideas, writing it onto paper and trying to create a book. What does a typical day look like for you in your work?
Well, for me, at least, I wake up probably around 5:30 in the morning, mostly because the sun is shining through my window. The sun rises really early in this country. And then I get coffee, and then I write like one page, and then I'm done for writing for that day. And I might edit a little bit, but I only write one unique page. And right now, my horror publisher, Nightmare Press, is actually going to release a vampire anthology later this year. And I'm actually reading for that. So up until July 12th, beginning June 10th, I've been reading submissions as they came in for this vampire anthology. So that's also part of my day. There's also a lot of networking, actually meeting people to talk to, having different interviews, keeping in contact with people. I mean, you know, I think that people who are interested in doing any kind of art, but specifically writing, they may not realize it, but a lot of their day probably isn't devoted to writing. It's actually devoted to trying to get the world to know that you've written something, trying to get people aware of who you are. This is not a small deal because there's a lot of noise in the world. There's a lot of things people could be focusing on. And there's a lot of things trying to attract people's attention. It's just one small thing. So a lot of your day is actually just trying to get people to know you exist and know your writing exists. So that's a typical day for me.
Have you hit a writer's block before?
No. You know, I had a great professor, a great teacher, Jacqueline Woodson, who said that there's no such thing as writer's block. I worked with her when I was 19, 20 years old. It's not really writer's block. It's just you're trying to force something. And that's basically what people use writer's block. If you actually just relax and write what you want to write, instead of trying to force something, then you won't really have to deal with writer's block. So no, I don't really hit writer's block, no.
That's awesome. I've never heard that perspective of it before, but I actually kind of like that a lot.
Cool.
Todd, well, thanks for taking the time to kind of chit-chat with me and everything. The last question I always ask people as we start to wrap up, what is it that, maybe it's something that you have talked about within the last half hour or so, or maybe it's something you haven't mentioned, but what is it that you want the listeners of this podcast to take away from you?
Well, definitely that I have two novella series out. And it'd be awesome if you check them out. They actually are really good. They've gotten a lot of great reviews. I have two novella series out. Check them out. They're easily available on Amazon. And that's the main thing I want people to take away, honestly, are these novella series.
Well, thanks for coming on and chit-chatting with me. Todd, you actually get to do the sign-off for the podcast.
Oh, well, again, thank you for having me. I really enjoy the conversation, and I hope everyone have a good night, I suppose, for you guys in America, a good night.